On Sunday afternoon, I was chewing mainly on what John shared and asking the Lord to help me grasp what he was saying. So I just sat there waiting. And this word comes up to the surface, and the word that came up to the surface was covenant. And I remember John mentioning covenant and that it was through the covenant that the type of intercessory prayer you were speaking of happened. So I said, okay. And I knew I had a book on the covenant because I don't know how far back this goes, has been a press in my heart towards the covenant. So I did, I went to my bookshelf, and the books are written by Francis Frangipani. I have notes all over the books. So I felt that to just kind of continue on with the covenant, I can barely scratch the surface of what the Lord showed me. It was speaking very loudly, but I have not digested it all. But hopefully I can give you enough pieces that if you so choose, you can go back to the Lord with it. One thing he does mention in here, that for those that are hungry for it, it'll come by revelation. So my speaking could only stir that up within you. So there's two books. The first one that I picked up that spoke was The Power of Covenant Prayer. I grasped what he was saying, walk in it. Wow. So let me just share with you a few of the things that really, and my main focus that I felt to bring to you was blood covenant. And I'm going to quote here from Francis Frangipani, who definitely did receive some marvelous revelation. Approximately 2,000 years ago, a decree was issued from the judgment seat of God. It provided legal protection for the church against the devil. Indeed, when Jesus died for our sins, the ruler of this world was judged. That's John 16:11. Our debts were nailed to Christ's cross and canceled. Principalities and powers were disarmed. Because of Jesus, we have a legal right not only to be protected from our enemy, but to triumph over him. And that comes from Colossians 2:13-15. I felt to start with that because it's on legal protection. And then I felt to go over to this book, which goes into covenant and begin to help you, hopefully, to stir up something in regards to covenant. A covenant is the highest form of commitment between two individuals. And in the process of that covenant, each one agrees that it's almost like they become one. Whatever happens to the other, the person, it's twofold. And they walk forward with that, and it's almost like if something happens to you, I'm right there. That's covenant. And it's a lifetime commitment. And there are many ways over the past centuries that people would transact this between the two of them. But it still was just a way of saying, my arms are your arms, my weapons are your weapons, we're one. So it was the most deepest commitment that two people could make with each other. The Bible has several covenants, And there were seven major covenants in the Bible. Six of which God made, one with Noah, one with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and David. And the seventh and greatest covenant is the one that we have the opportunity to live in, and that's the blood covenant. So let me begin to help you grasp somewhat of the covenant that God has given us. The Lord told Noah, "I will establish my covenant with you." When the Lord begins to move in covenant power, He does it all. We're just the partner. He literally does it all. When He made the covenant with Noah, He gave Noah the instructions of how to build the ark. Noah didn't have to do a thing but follow the instructions. He brought the animals to the ark. Noah didn't have to do that. When they went in the ark, God shut the door. Noah never shut that door, God shut it. And while they were in the ark, they were totally protected in every way by all the catastrophe going around by God. God did it all. And that was the covenant that He had made with Noah. Virtually, we can see here that when God makes a covenant with you, or you make one with God, He does all of it. In the process of that, Noah never questioned God. He just did what God told him to do. There wasn't any arguing, there was no reasoning, he just did it. The second person that is related here is the covenant God made with Abraham. When God called Abraham out of Mesopotamia and began to tell him what He was going to do with him, Abraham believed Him. And over a period of time, God said to Abraham, "I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." And He had him look towards the heavens and said, "You see all those stars up there? If you are able to count them, so shall your descendants be." That was the commitment that God made to Abraham. He makes a statement here that really I've been pondering on right in the middle of this with Abraham. There is a more consequential level of faith available to us. One that goes beyond believing that someday God is going to do something important with our lives. It is a faith that realizes God is calling us to significance now. And that's what God did with Abraham. He awakened that in him. And today, and at that time, Abraham got the heifer, the goat, the ram, the turtle dove, and the pigeon, and that was the way that the covenant was celebrated with Abraham. But Abraham just did what he was told, but he was not the person to pass in between the sacrifices. It was God. And He made a commitment to Abraham in a covenant that said, "To your descendants I give this land," which was the land of Canaan. The covenant through obedience. When a covenant is initiated by God, it contains the Lord's unalterable commitment to supply the grace and the faith to his human counterpart. I find it interesting, Deborah, that you saw the covenant going around. I was waiting to see if there was a confirmation coming for what the Lord was showing me, and you saw the covenant going around to each person as Peggy prayed. The Israelites had the Ark of the Covenant, and whenever they went to war, that covenant went with them, and that was their power. It went out before them, and all the power was initiated by God. And that was the covenant that he had with the Israelites. So it's totally initiated, established, and fulfilled by God himself. And our responsibility, and it was their responsibility, is to simply believe in the integrity of God and his promise and obey the conditions. For us, we have a covenant relationship with God through Christ. And this is where I've been asking the Lord for the understanding of what he has truly done for us. The terms of this covenant were very profound. If Jesus would live in perfect sinlessness throughout his life, and if he then presented himself unblemished to God in redemptive surrender, from that moment into all eternity, God would pardon every soul seeking forgiveness.
Amen.
Phenomenal. The Father promised in his covenant agreement with his Son to transfer all of mankind's sins onto the cross of Christ. Today we are forgiven, not for any other reason, but because Jesus kept the conditions of the covenant.
Amen.
We have access to God and forgiveness of sins through Jesus. And every time Satan comes to condemn, criticize, accuse, whatever it is, we have the blood of Christ. Our salvation, the foundation of our faith, rests totally, completely on what Jesus won for us in his covenant with his Father. We need to bear in mind here that when God made this covenant, he didn't covenant in any way with a man. He covenanted with himself. This was between Jesus and God, God with God. We are unable to keep that type of covenant. So just as Noah's family, and again, I found that very interesting that the ark followed us around, just as Noah's family was totally 100% protected in that ark during the flood, so are we. We are totally 100% protected in the covenant promises that God has made through Jesus to us. So we are covenant partners against evil. God's enemies are our enemies.
That's right.
Sickness, poverty, fear, sin, Satan, those are our enemies as they are God's. The covenant sacrifice that was made for us was not a bull or a goat, it was a lamb. So God unites with us through Christ's divinity. in Jesus, God and man became one in covenant power. As I said when I first started, I did go through half of this book. The last half of this book is on witchcraft, which I didn't feel I needed to get into. But the power of covenant prayer. And as I pondered on this, I thought, okay, what happened to me one time when I totally made a decision to trust and believe God? So I got a little tiny, tiny sampling. 1989 was a pivotal year in my life. I had a transgressional breakdown. I did a whole lot of things I'd never done before. And one of those things is I took training in the SHINE program to become a SHINE counselor. Well, it wasn't too long after that, a few months, that I got the call that they wanted me to come in and be the director of the whole program, which would be Hamden County, would be the territory. Well, this was mind-boggling. God, I know nothing. I'm not a teacher. I've never done this before. Again, I got all those kinds of arguments. But he did come to me in a dream one night and told me that that's what he had purposed for my life at that time. So I said, okay, God, I'll make a deal. If the request comes back in 1 month, I'll take the job. And I let it go. Sure enough, 1 month later, the call comes, Gail, we're waiting for you. So I won't go into all the detail, but it was my taste at that point in time of God providing, opening doors that there is no way that I could even have begun. I did not qualify for the job in any way, shape, or form. Not one qualification did I fit. But that makes no difference to God. He said, it's yours. So I got it. So there I was, responsible for, all the counselors were volunteers. I was responsible totally for them, for their training, for keeping them up to date, for making sure they were doing their job. I was responsible for all the senior councils on aging, senior services in Hamden County to keep them up to date. How am I going to do this? And it just kept coming to me. It just kept coming, the ways to do it. Whoo! And I would do that, and sure enough, it just fell into place. These doors just kept opening, and I wasn't me opening it. And there I am standing before people. Sometimes the group was 5, sometimes the group was 100. And I'm teaching, and I'm going, I've never done this before. And I knew who was doing it. It's not me. I got to the point where I became the state trainer. That was my title. Not only did I have Hamden County, but I was responsible to go to different parts of the state and train new counselors. Spent a lot of time in Pittsfield. I spent a lot of time in Hampshire County. I spent a lot of time in Worcester County, and obviously in Hamden County, training people to be volunteers. And it just kept coming to me how to do this. It was utterly, now that I have hindsight, that was my taste of probably what you could call a covenant. Because I agreed that I would do this, knowing that there was no way I could. But as I walked it out, God did it. It was just an amazing walk of grace. And I think that for me, and hopefully for you, gives you just a little taste that when you do choose to say yes to God, when he gives you whatever it is, he says, comes to you and you obey, it is utterly astounding what kind of a door can open, what kind of things he can do with you. And that's covenant power. But it goes far, 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 obviously, deeper than that. But God has to start with us on some level that we can get up to the level where he really would like us to be. So for each one of you, that as you desire this type of covenant relationship with our God and to walk in those places, it is each one of you a choice, whether you will do that, whether you receive the revelation that he desires to put in your heart for whatever the purposes are he has for you. Another example, I've been asking the Lord for another example. Another example that comes to mind is after the Israelites went through the desert and God finally had to let that whole generation die because they refused to walk in his covenant, and the ones that chose to walk in it and were headed by Joshua, they got ready to walk into the promised land. And in order to prepare for this crossing the Jordan River, Joshua told them that they would need to consecrate themselves for 3 days. So consecrating means they had to really submit themselves to God, because they were making a covenant that they were going to do this. They were going to go into the promised land and obey. The most astounding part of this is, at this time of year when this happened, the Jordan River is in flood stage. Now, when Kim and I went to Israel, I had to laugh hysterically at the Jordan River because it's a stream. And I looked at Kim and I says, "Where's the river? This is a stream." And we couldn't believe it. I'm used to the Connecticut River. But apparently at certain times of the year, the Jordan River floods. So at this time, when they were going to cross over, it was at flood stage. So here you are with four priests, and they've got the ark on their shoulders. And the commitment is, God said, if the priests will walk across on dry land into the... There was no arguing. There was no reasoning. No nothing. They put the ark on their shoulders. The priests went up. And as they approached the Jordan River and lifted their foot to put it into the river, it parted. Boom. Covenant power. God kept his part of the covenant. The covenant power just moved that river, and the priests walked across. The Israelites were told to keep their distance because that's a holy God they're following. And from then, we know many of the things that they went across. But every time that God put before them what they were to do, he did it. They did not. All they did was he told them what to do. They did it. And covenant power came forth. That's something that we can go in the Bible to get a little sample of what covenant power means to our God. I'll just leave you with that. As I say, all I could do was scratch the surface of covenant power that I felt was kind of something to put on top of the lesson on Sunday, which was on obedience, because the two go together. Obviously, in obedience, when you're obeying God, that's when you get to choose if you're going to walk in that covenant power. So if anybody has anything that they would like to add to that, please. Chair.
22?
No, it's okay. Okay, I mean, there really is a tough one to add too, but that's what I felt to bring to you today. Thank you.